听力课堂，听 class.com。
Ooh. Archie, are you okay?
I don't think so, Veronica.
You look kind of green. Did you eat something that didn't agree with you?
I think it was that hot dog I had for lunch. I don't think it's going to be in here for long.
Well, that's good. I think we can use this.
Use it?
Yeah, use it. You know, like in acting class when you use your own experience to enrich a scene or an emotion you have to play.
Veronica, what are you talking about?
Well, the words in this group are all words about things going in and things coming out. Since you seem to be dealing with that right now, I think we should call this group Franks and Beans.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's it. Franks will be the words that have to do with things that go in or are within, and then beans will be about things coming back out.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Perfect! We can use that! Here, let's not waste any of this. Let's just jump right in with the Franks half while you're still managing to keep everything down.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'll start. I think the best way to begin is with dyspeptic.
I'll say. It sounds like Pepto-Bismol, which I could use at this point.
Well, in fact, they're related. Whenever you hear Pepto or peptic, it has to do with your digestive system. If you take the prefix dys, which almost always means bad, and add it to the root, peptic, you get dyspeptic.
Upset stomach, in other words?
Exactly. After feasting on a greasy pile of roach-infested soft-shell crabs, Amy was feeling rather dyspeptic. But it was nothing that a little antacid and a stomach pump couldn't fix in a jiffy. The best way to avoid feeling dyspeptic is to avoid eating nasty food like hot dogs, for example.
Okay, I get the message. Can we move on quickly?
Okay, let's try quaff.
That's a verb. After struggling to complete the 100-mile road race, a thirsty Thurston quaffed an entire bucket of lemonade.
Bet that made him dyspeptic. To quaff is to drink, but specifically to drink freely and deeply.
So sipping a cup of hot coffee wouldn't qualify as quaffing?
Nope, I'd have to say no. You quaff things like mugs of beer, cold milkshakes on hot days, and clear, sparkling spring water in the middle of a desert.
What's more, after you've quaffed that mug of beer, the drink is considered quaffed.
I think we better quit saying quaff or else it's going to start losing its meaning. Quaff, quaff, quaff.
You're right. Even though we know that quaff means to drink deeply and freely, if we say it even one more time, I think it may end up meaning nothing at all.
Quaff.
Thanks.
Sorry. It'll come back after a few minutes. Meanwhile, how are you feeling? Any better?
Not much. We better keep going.
I'm telling you, you've got to stop eating like some kind of animal. You're not a garbage disposal, after all. You'd worry a lot less about making yourself feel better if you cared more about basic prophylaxis in the first place.
Prophylaxis?
That's right, prophylaxis. The prevention of or protection from infection or disease.
Is that why they call the things that prevent the spread of certain diseases prophylactics?
That is precisely correct, Archie.
So, if I had been thinking prophylactically, I would have avoided eating that disgusting week-old fetid tube of animal scraps and meat byproducts.
Righto, that would have been you practicing prophylaxis.
Would have been. Or putting on a rubber glove before sticking my hand in the toilet to fish out a cracker that I dropped in there. Would that be using a prophylactic?
Yep, because you're working to prevent disease from spreading in the first place.
I guess I shouldn't bother asking why this word is in the Franks and Beans group.
Nope, I wouldn't.
Okay, but I would like to introduce the next word. It's poniard, which is a dagger with a small triangular blade.
He stabbed the helpless piñata with his poniard.
Look out! He's got a poniard. Or, after that awful hot dog, I feel as if I've been stabbed by a poniard.
Also, poniard can be used to describe language that cuts like a knife. A cruel, witty, cutting remark can be called a poniard, but we recommend only using it in certain circles.
Yeah, use poniard wisely and discreetly. If you say, terrific poniard, to a bunch of drunken yahoos in a bar while the final playoff is being shown on TV, for example, you're liable to find yourself caught in an imbroglio.
Itself a word that could get you caught in an imbroglio, which is a great word which means a difficult, confusing, and complicated situation.
It sort of sounds like what it means. A quality I always like in a word, especially a tough one like imbroglio.
Sounds Italian to me.
And indeed it is. Okay, I'm going to try to use it in a sentence. Despite weeks of hard work and excavation, Michal's ever-growing pile of paperwork had become a full-scale imbroglio.
The awards ceremony turned into an imbroglio when the wrong name was secretly slipped into the winner's envelope. It would take weeks and no small amount of cold, hard cash to iron out that one.
Now that's an imbroglio.
Can I have fresh pepper with my imbroglio?
Oh, you better be careful there, sister. If you cross that line, someone is likely to aim a riposte in your direction.
Sounds like a poniard.
Not bad. A riposte, a term borrowed from swordplay, is a return thrust or a counterattack. It literally means a quick counterthrust after parrying an opponent's attack. But it can be used more loosely to mean any attempt to return fire.
Be it real bullets or just words. Carly's riposte, while quickly delivered, could not fully counteract the force of her ex-boyfriend's well-timed and heartless attack.
Poor Carly. She needs to get better at fashioning effective ripostes if she's going to continue to do battle with him, I guess.
True enough, though I would submit that the need for counterattacks, ripostes if you will, could be avoided altogether if they'd tried working things out early, before things got ugly.
Well, aren't you Miss Prophylaxis?
No, I just think it's sad to see people who really once liked each other embroiled in such a mean dispute.
To embroil is to involve or entangle into a complex situation.
In other words, you wouldn't use embroil to talk about inviting someone over for dinner.
Right. If you get embroiled in a situation, it's generally a difficult and unpleasant one. For example, Diptha really wanted to avoid getting embroiled in her parents' angry divorce. As much as she wanted them to be happy, she saw that the situation was too complex and painful for her to risk getting involved.
Would you prefer your hot dog grilled or embroiled?
Veronica, embroil has nothing to do with broil, although I guess I can see how that could work as a good mnemonic device. No one wants to get broiled, and no one wants to get embroiled either.
That's just what I was after, Arch. To avoid getting embroiled in dinner, I'd steer clear of the broiler.
No doubt. Craig and Marsh finally stop yelling and ask themselves how they got embroiled in this ridiculous situation in the first place, and more importantly, how are they going to work together to get out of it?
You imbued that sentence with a real sense of passion, Archie. That was nice.
Thank you, V. But you'd better tell me what imbue means, because I'm in the dark over here.
Sure. To imbue is to saturate, to permeate, or to fill up with. As in, Faye imbued the character with such passion and anger that she will forever be associated with Joan's shrill, domineering persona.
How about this? The falling leaves and gentle breezes imbued the scene of the disaster with an ironic sense of beauty.
Good use of imbue.
Or, I feel so sick, I think I'm going to imbue my toilet with a big...
Archie? The thing about imbue is that it's best used when you're discussing feelings or moods, sensations or colors. What you're describing is filling something up literally. Imbue allows us to use the notion of saturation a little more poetically than you did in that last thoroughly nauseating example.
Oh, I see.
Okay, I think that just about does it for the Frank's half of Franks and Beans, and not a moment too soon, it would appear. Why don't we take a moment to quickly review these words, and then Archie and I will take a much-needed break while we turn the floor over to a special guest. Good idea! I'll start. Dyspeptic.
Nauseated. Having indigestion.
To quaff.
To drink freely, and a lot.
Prophylaxis.
Prevention of disease, infection, and other bad things.
Poniard.
A sharp dagger or withering turn of phrase.
Imbroglio.
A big, ugly, complicated mess.
Riposte. Hang in there.
A counterattack.
To embroil.
To entangle or ensnare into a bad situation. I'm not going to make it.
Last one. Imbue.
To saturate, fill up with, or permeate.
Good. That's it. Go. Well, while Archie takes a little Franks and Beans breather, let's visit Garbage Man to the stars, Lappy Lipidoo. Hit it, Lappy.
Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot. So, here's the deal. It all started when I pulled the truck up Beverly Drive last Tuesday morning as per usual. I stop at the house of a major movie star diva whose name shall go without being named for the sake of the innocent until proven guilty. I pull on the big rubber gloves that I wear as prophylactics while handling the cargo, as I call it. One must be careful. These Hollywood bigwigs may think they're you-know-what-is without diseases, but believe you me, I know better. I'm using protection. Anyway, just as I'm about to start loading her cargo into the truck, she comes in storming out from the gate, yelling something about, I don't know, something, how dare I wear gloves? She's actually insulted that I'm not anxious to roll around in her trash naked as a J-cat. Now, I was already feeling dyspeptic from a lousy microwave breakfast, so neither I nor my stomach was in any mood to get embroiled in an argument with Miss Where's My Damn Oscar Already? So I hit her with a standard riposte, saying something like, "Look here, diva lady, garbage is garbage." That got her, because then, you won't believe this, she digs into the bag, pulls out a half-empty milkshake from McDonald's, says, "I'll show you whose garbage is garbage, Mr. Garbage Man," and proceeds to quaff the whole thing. Yeah, drinks it. Drinks it all. Seriously, I thought I was going to gag. I guess she thought that was just a poniard that set me back on my heels or something, but basically all I could do was laugh. Here's this big, well, once big, movie star drinking sewage out of a bag and yelling at the top of her well-known lungs. I tell you, after that little episode, the whole rest of the day was imbued with a sense of just how difficult a town this really is. I declare, what an imbroglio! How the mighty have brought low! Goodbye for now.
Thanks, Lappy. That's quite a tale. Oh, and look who's back from his little trip to Little Boy's Room.
Hi.
Feeling any better?
Yes. I think we can proceed now to the second half of Franks and Beans. In fact, I think that would be a really good idea.
Sounds about right to me. Let's do it. In honor of your recent release, let's start with Crapulent.
Oh, boy.
You were feeling crapulent, weren't you there?
If you mean sick from too much eating and drinking, I'd have to say yes. I've had a crapulous morning.
Crapulous being another form of crapulent.
That's right. Whenever I allow myself to overeat or drink or to wolf down cruddy food that I know is no good for me, I always end up feeling crapulous.
This is a truly onomatopoetic word. This one really sounds like what it means, don't you think? I mean, what could sound more like sick from improper eating and drinking than crapulent?
Only crapulous, and that's practically the same thing.
Juicy word, crapulent. To avoid crapulence, either don't eat like a pig or hit the showers. That's my advice.
I need to get my record expunged.
I'm sorry?
I said I should go to the DMV and get my driving record expunged. It's been over 3 years since my last violation, so I think I can have them remove all the previous tickets from my record.
Okay. A little abrupt on the segue there, but okay. Are you trying to tell us that the meaning of expunge is to erase or to blot out?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. The meaning of expunge is to erase or to blot out. The thing is, I rarely hear it used for anything other than records, be they driving or even criminal records.
Well, truth to tell, there are only so many things in this world that can be expunged. If I decide that I hate my girlfriend of 20 years, I could expunge all my affection for her.
I've been trying for weeks to expunge the odor of fish from my apartment, and no, I have no idea how it got there.
Expunge is another word that really sounds like what it means. The prefix ex almost always means out or to take out. And then the second half sounds like sponge, even though it's not really the same root.
So you get expunge, or something that sounds like a sponge that removes things. Expunge.
Okay, but how are we going to explain putch, spelled P-U-T-S-C-H? I mean, it doesn't sound or look like anything at all.
True enough. Guess we'll have to use it in a sentence. Let's see. Howard had always known his trip to Russia would be interesting, but he never could have imagined just how much. What could be more interesting than watching the government almost get overthrown in a putsch?
Got it. A putsch, from the sound of it, is an attempt to overthrow the government. In order to be a putsch and not a full-scale coup d'etat, it has to fail.
That's right, Veronica. I must have done a good job of creating a context sentence. George Johnson, a history professor, once said that a putsch is a coup d'etat that went kaput.
And perhaps the most famous putsch of all was the beer hall putsch of 1923. It was led by Adolf Hitler, and after its failure, he was jailed. While in jail, though, he had time to write his infamous and dastardly political tract, Mein Kampf.
So he lost that little battle, but came back to wage the worst war ever. Makes you wonder if it isn't too bad his first putsch didn't succeed.
Well, then it wouldn't have been a putsch.
True enough. But I don't like talking about Hitler. I'm going to extirpate that subject with talk of better days.
Just like my hairdresser extirpated what was left of my hair with that extra strong bleach he uses. To extirpate is to abolish, to destroy by ripping up from the roots.
To really, really get rid of something. Robespierre sought to extirpate the French monarchy and all of its foul trappings.
Oh, yeah, well, I extirpated the mice in my kitchen by trapping not only the big ones, but the little ones, too. Now there will be no more mice in my house. They have been extirpated, baby.
Sounds like it, though I don't know if I, for one, could bring myself to extirpate all those cute little baby mice.
Oh, they weren't babies. They were just little.
Oh, I see.
Although, given the amount of damage those vermin do, I might well be willing to extirpate the young ones, too. I know it sounds cruel, but don't judge till you've spent the night cleaning up after a dozen or so 10-pound mice.
10 pounds? Yikes. I don't suppose I'll ever be able to educe feelings of sympathy for mice from you.
Not likely. Just like I'm never going to educe the use of grammar out of a monkey. If there's nothing latent or dormant to be drawn out, then it cannot be educed.
So educe means to draw something out that was always in there to begin with. You can't educe it if it isn't in there somewhere.
Right. That would be closer to evoking or even producing. Listen, using a variety of heinous techniques, the chairman educed the information out of an otherwise reluctant Werther.
Rodney knew that Kimba possessed the psychic skills that had run through his family for generations. He just didn't know how to educe them.
He should try licorice. It usually works. I've used it to educe psychic powers many times.
Okay, I'll recommend that to him. Meanwhile, another substance that draws things out, not thoughts or feelings, but dirt and oil, is called a poultice.
A what?
A poultice. Look, when's the last time you gave yourself a mud mask on your face?
What do you mean? I've had one on all morning.
Oh, is that what that is? I was going to suggest you wipe your nose, but I didn't want to seem rude. Anyway, a mud mask is an example of a poultice, which is a damp or moist clump of a substance like clay or plaster that you apply to a surface. As the poultice dries, it draws out all the dirt and moisture that was underneath it.
A good poultice can be as effective at cleaning a marble statue as it can be at cleaning your face.
Or your brain.
Listen, Mr. Franks and Beans, my brain is in no need of poulticing. I'm super fine as I am.
Well, smell you. Oh, man, look at my screen. It's all blurry. Looks like it's time to degauss.
Ooh, won't that hurt?
Very funny. To degauss means, very simply, to demagnetize something. It shouldn't hurt at all. All I have to do is just press this button here and... Ah!
Archie?
Just kidding. All it did was get rid of the magnetic field that builds up around the tube in there.
Oh, like when you put a video into your VCR and the heads get demagnetized before it starts playing.
Exactly. Degaussing the heads makes the VCR work better. The military uses degaussing to demagnetize their ships, so magnetic mines won't be attracted to them.
Wow. Imagine if we could degauss the whole planet. What do you think that would do?
With no magnetism, I guess the poles would go wild or disappear even. After a planetary degaussing, the seas would shift, we wouldn't spin on the same axis. It'd suck, pretty much.
There would be lots of effluvium thrown into the atmosphere, no?
Oh, yes, lots of effluvium. Lots of foul-smelling vapor from volcanoes erupting and most natural systems collapsing.
Effluvium means smelly vapor. From afar, the Queen's coterie had a glamorous look, but at close range, these apparently zoftic beauties were merely corseted fat dowagers emanating the effluvia of myriad perfumes applied too liberally.
Effluvia is the plural of effluvium. And it could be argued that the effluvia of the myriad perfumes, while awful, might well have been preferable to the effluvia that they were masking.
Yummy. The chemical plant's toxic effluvium seeped into the groundwater, causing Juanita to metamorphose into a hideous, twisted mutation whose abject and distorted form mocked the very laws of nature.
Guess she didn't get that promotion.
Nope. And neither will you if we don't stop this crazy talk and review the beans half of the group Franks and Beans.
Well, let's do it. Here's crapulent.
The feeling of sickness that comes from overeating.
Expunge.
To erase or blot out.
Putch.
A failed attempt to overthrow a government.
Extirpate.
To utterly destroy, to rip up by the roots.
Educe.
To draw out that which is hidden or latent, baby.
Poultice.
A substance used to draw out dirt and oil from beneath a surface.
To degauss.
To eliminate a magnetic field.
Effluvium.
A foul-smelling vapor.
That be they. They is them. Let's finish up these bean words with a trip to the kitchen of world-famous superstar chef Marge, La Belle Bonbon. Marge?
Why, hello again, fans of the culinary arts. On today's show, we'll be featuring French twists on American favorites, delicate versions of crapulent classics designed to deliver all the fun and flavor of traditional comfort food without that vague, sickly feeling that comes with improper eating. We'll begin with perennial favorite meatloaf, or as we'll be cooking it, loaf de meat. First, we must wash our hands, expunging them of the many germs and parasites waiting there just underneath the cuticles. And make sure you scrub hard, as these pesky little buggers are not easy to extirpate. If you really want to destroy them all, you must combine friction with hot water and really bear down on your digits. If you don't, then you're likely to find out that your little attempt to wipe out the germs will have been for naught. Your coup de bacteria will turn out to be a putsch to paramecium. If you are especially concerned with the problem of germs, I can recommend a poultice of lye, rum, cornmeal, and ammonia that has never let me down. Of course, who needs all seven layers of flesh anyway? Also, you'll need to apply that poultice near an open window, as the effluvia produced by the mixture of active agents can be deadly. And there's nothing quite so sad as watching the paramedics trying to induce life out of a cook who has just inhaled a full dollop of that little cocktail. Also, if you'll be poulticing near a microwave at this point, I suggest you degas it, as the magnetic field produced in and around these little miracles of modern science can cause the mixture to coagulate and explode. And then what would you have to cook with? Oh, my. Anyway, are we all clean and ready to go? Great. Bon appetit.
Well, that was weird. I think I hear my mother calling.
Oh, no, you don't. You're not going anywhere until we finish this final review, bucko.
Oh, do I have to?
Yes, you have to.
Oh, darn it. All right.
Here's how it works, as always. You'll hear the words from both halves of Franks and Beans listed one by one in no particular order. Each word is followed by the sentence from the speech in which it was used in context.
Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Right. Then you'll hear one final working definition, and then we move on to the next word.
Da-di-di-da-di-da.
Exactly. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
First up, your favorite, dyspeptic.
Now, I was already feeling dyspeptic from a lousy microwave breakfast, so neither I nor my stomach was in any mood to get embroiled in an argument with Miss Where's My Damn Oscar already.
Dyspeptic means having an upset stomach.
Expunge.
First, we must wash our hands, expunging them of the many germs and parasites waiting there just underneath the cuticles.
To expunge is to erase or blot out.
To quaff.
She digs into the bag, pulls out a half-empty milkshake from McDonald's, says, "I'll show you whose garbage is garbage, Mr. Garbage Man," and proceeds to quaff the whole thing. Yeah, drinks it all.
To quaff is to drink freely and deeply.
Crapulent.
Delicate versions of crapulent classics, designed to deliver all the fun and flavor of traditional comfort food without that vague, sickly feeling that comes with improper eating.
Crapulence is a feeling of sickness due to overeating.
Prophylaxis.
I pull on the big rubber gloves that I wear as prophylactics while handling the cargo, as I call it.
Prophylaxis is the prevention of disease, infection, and other bad things.
Putsch.
Your coup de bacteria will turn out to be a putsch to paramecium.
A putsch is a failed attempt at overthrowing a government.
Imbroglio.
I tell you, after that little episode, the whole rest of the day was imbued with a sense of just how difficult this town really is. I declare, what an imbroglio.
An imbroglio is a complicated, messy situation.
Extirpate.
And make sure you scrub hard, as these pesky little buggers are not easy to extirpate.
To extirpate is to destroy completely, to rip up by the roots.
Poniard.
I guess she thought that was just the poniard to set me back on my heels or something, but basically all I could do was laugh.
A poniard is a sharp little dagger or a phrase that cuts like one.
Educe.
And there's nothing quite so sad as watching the paramedics trying to educe the life out of a cook who has just inhaled a full dollop of that little cocktail.
To educe is to draw out that which is hidden, dormant, or latent inside.
Riposte.
So I hit her with a standard riposte, saying something like, "Look here, diva lady, garbage is garbage."
A riposte is a counterattack.
Poultice.
If you are especially concerned with a problem of germs, I can recommend a poultice of lye, rum, cornmeal, and ammonia that has never let me down.
A poultice is a moist substance used to draw dirt and oil out from underneath the surface.
To embroil.
Now, I was already feeling dyspeptic from a lousy microwave breakfast, so neither I nor my stomach was in any mood to get embroiled in an argument.
To embroil is to involve or entangle someone in a complex and difficult situation.
To degauss.
Also, if you'll be poulticing near a microwave at this point, I suggest you degauss it, as the magnetic field produced in and around these little miracles of modern science can cause the mixture to coagulate and explode.
To degauss is to demagnetize.
Imbue.
I tell you, after that little episode, the whole rest of the day was imbued with a sense of just how difficult this town really is.
To imbue is to saturate, permeate, or fill up.
Effluvia.
Also, you'll need to apply that poultice near an open window, as the effluvia produced by the mixture of active agents can be deadly.
Effluvium and its plural effluvia mean a foul-smelling vapor or vapors.
And that's the story of...
That's the glory of...
Franks and beans, baby.
Yummy.
Look back over the words we covered. Learn their spellings and their structure.
Review as necessary.
And come back and see us sometime.